Community reporting is gaining momentum in the U.S. WBGO's community engagement reporter Britt Harley sat down recently with the newest face with Free Press to talk about our partnership and a new survey that aims to find out what Newark residents really need.
Here with us today, we have Vanessa Maria Graber of the Free Press, and she will be working alongside me and some other local partners organizing around what it looks like to have equitable media in Newark. What does it look like to give Newarkers access to the information they need, especially during a time such as this, which is the pandemic? So thank you for being here with me today, Vanessa. Just wanted to give you the opportunity to just say a little bit about yourself and how you even started doing a lot of this work when it comes to information needs.
Hello, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me. So I work at Free Press, which is an organization that works on a number of different media policy issues. We advocate for access to communication, and we advocate for fair and equitable media. And we also have a really cool project called News Voices, which takes place in several different states, including New Jersey, which really seeks to engage journalists, community members, and other stakeholders on how to best meet people's information needs and how to reframe different conversations. So for example, in Philadelphia, we're talking about how to cover criminal justice issues and police reform. In Colorado, we're talking about how to cover the uprisings. In New Jersey, we're talking more specifically about how to best meet the public's information needs during the pandemic, since New Jersey was hit so hard by COVID-19. I came into this work working originally as a radio reporter. So I've been involved in radio production for over 20 years. Started at my college radio station, WIEP-FM, where radio was really vital to rural communities with so few media outlets. And later I joined the community radio movement, working to expand the number of community radio stations in the United States. And in doing so, I was co-founder of WPPM in Philadelphia. We started a community radio station at PhillyCam, the public access TV station. So now it is a community media center. And learned a lot in those 10 years about how the public doesn't get information they need and their frustration with the way many issues are covered. So transitioning to this job as the New Jersey manager was a pretty natural one to me, since I've been talking to hundreds, if not thousands of people in the last decade about their opinions on the local media landscape and their vision for how to make it better.
Vanessa is like an OG. It's really been an honor to just learn from her just in the short few months that we've been able to work together. And I'm so glad that the Free Press will continue to do a lot more of the organizing and policy work continuing in Newark, because I was the News Voices Fellow last year, which is what brought me to WBGO and beginning the conversation around how do we see ourselves in media? How do we shift that culture? How do we as a community really want to co-create any narrative about this city? So I so appreciate your expertise that you bring to this work and the way you do this work with empathy and care. And I think that empathy and care is so important. We were a part of a virtual conference hosted by the Center for Cooperative Media out of Montclair State, really to talk about information needs, right? What are the gaps? Bringing together local reporters, media makers, different community stakeholders at that gathering. And then there was a one-week survey launched by an organization called Outlier Media. Shout out to Sarah. And a lot came from this report, right? And so they brought roughly about 50,000 Newark numbers. And they reached out to ask some questions specific to folks' information needs. And so, Vanessa, can you talk a little bit about what came out of that report in terms of like the most pressing issues that some residents said they needed information around?
Sure. So one of the things that's been really challenging during the pandemic is how to communicate with people. Normally, we would hold these conversations in person. There's a lot more in-person outreach that happens. People see their neighbors and coworkers and allies a lot more. So when this idea was conceived, the biggest question was, how do we best reach people? And so Outlier Media specializes in text message-based research. And they've used this model in Detroit to ask people what their biggest questions are. So they came together with us in New Jersey, and we're also doing this project in Atlantic City and Camden. But we started with Newark to ask them what kinds of information they needed and to the degree of which they needed this information. That survey took place over the course of a week, and we got some really interesting text message responses. And Outlier Media, who really spearheaded this, they're the ones who created a report. It's on the Center for Cooperative Media's website if you want to check it out in depth. But these are some things that really stuck out to us. And shout outs to Kenny Miles, who's working with the Center for Cooperative Media, who brainstormed some of this with me. 30% of Newark residents live in poverty. Almost 80% don't own their own homes. So really that speaks to the wealth inequality that's happening in Newark. 54% of people who responded said they really needed this information. So we asked them, like, how badly do you need this information? So that's more than half were in need of this. 32% said the information would help. 13% said they were just curious. So again, more than half people needing the information right away. And that was part of my work, was responding to the people via text message about the information they really needed. So what was the information that they needed? Well, the number one thing that people asked about was money for food or access to groceries. So that speaks to another issue, which goes hand in hand with income inequality, which is food insecurity being the number one issue. Number two was money for bills. And that can translate to rent assistance, low-cost housing, help with utilities. And the third thing on the list was access to unemployment funds and information about stimulus checks, the federal funding that was made available as a result of the pandemic assistance. Another big theme that we saw was with parents, the majority of questions being around how virtual learning would impact their daily lives. Questions like, what kind of schedule will it be? How many hours will I need to supervise? Can I go to work? Will I need to find childcare for my child? How do I get faster internet? How do I get computers? So a lot of questions about virtual learning. And that survey coincided with the school district's announcement that they would move to all virtual learning at the beginning of the school year. So naturally, there were a lot of questions immediately following that announcement about what that would look like. And Britt, I got to tell you that when I was doing research on a lot of these questions that people had, it was not easy to find the information. And I'm somebody who's a skilled researcher, an investigator. And so imagine if it's difficult for me to find this information with my Mac laptop and my high-speed internet, then imagine what it's like for the average person. And so I think this tells us a lot about the need to better communicate with these communities and to think outside the box and use some other platforms for how to reach them. Because we also know that there's a digital divide and a real lack of access to online and mobile technologies. So I think this report can help producers like us and other newsrooms think of strategies on how to communicate information about basic needs and education to these populations.
Most definitely. I think there are definitely a lot of opportunities to also get creative around how we're meeting some of these information needs of Newarkers who need that support. and need that information around where they can find the support they need, especially when we think about food insecurity and just housing, especially basic needs for folks to have to be able to thrive. And so in thinking about folks being able to thrive and access to information being a part of that, based on your work in other places, what are some of the things that you've seen work in terms of outreach, in terms of sharing information with residents so that they can thrive and at least have access to the information that they need?
Well, I did a lot of outreach like this in Camden, which is another New Jersey city that faces similar problems with income inequality and people experiencing poverty. And before the pandemic, you know, we did a lot of outreach at supermarkets, nail salons, barbershops, churches, health centers, and the schools. So we would go to people where they were in the community. That has all really changed as a result of the pandemic. And so the ways in which they're effectively meeting people now is really new, and we're still testing those things. So I just want to make that distinction. I think radio, of course, is still one of the best mediums to reach people because folks can tune into WBGO for free, right? They don't have to pay for a subscription. You don't have to have a high literacy level to listen to the radio. And you can listen to the radio while doing other things. So for a lot of people that work in the service industry, you know, they can listen to the radio and work at the same time. So that's my plug for radio and WBGO. And also the device to listen to radio is still very affordable. You can get a radio for very cheap. So most families can afford a radio. I think what we're seeing now people use effectively are text message, social media, and WhatsApp. And we heard that from Newark residents as well, that everybody was on social media. Even if they were experiencing poverty, they still had some access to Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And so that we shouldn't underestimate the use of those platforms to post information. I think especially among immigrant communities, WhatsApp is extremely popular and a lot of these text message networks. So that's another opportunity. Our friends in Atlantic City from the Stories of Atlantic City Collaborative, they use a phone tree. And so they've lined up lots of residents who use their networks to call people on the telephone. We're seeing now during the election, lots of phone banking happening. Because again, voters are not out in public spaces like before. So I would say text, social media, and phone outreach are some of the more effective things that we've seen throughout the pandemic. But I also think we still need to be out in communities to the extent possible, in safe, socially distanced, and healthy ways. I've been working in my community doing voter outreach, not for Free Press, but just, you know, as a volunteer in the community with other neighbors. And we've gotten very valuable information just by going to the park, setting up a table and talking to people for several hours. And people still come out to walk their dogs and play with their kids. So I think parks are another great place to set up shop and engage with people.
And I'm so glad just as a Newark resident to have someone like you here doing this work, being able to really work and learn from Mike Rispoli from the Free Press. Shout outs to my Free Press family. Really was an entry point for my understanding around where journalism is shifting, right? And that there is a future being created that includes everyone. And so how do we really bring resources and people power and organize to ensure that the power is with the people, right? And the people are reminded that they do have a say in how things go. And they definitely have a say in having things that they need, and that we are partners in possibility, also partners in justice with them, to make sure that we're creating and pushing and advocating for the information and things that they need. so appreciative to you and the folks at the Free Press for the work that you all do in these communities who need this level of partnership and support, to resources to keep doing the work that we've been doing, and to also keep upholding the integrity of something belonging to the community. And how do we really bring other resources and funding to the community so that that work can keep happening and so that folks can thrive? So thank you so much for taking the time today to chat with me and for all that you've shared in this conversation.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine, and shout out to all the people that are involved in this work. You know, I never work alone. We work in partnership with so many amazing people. And so thank you. It was great to speak with you.
Vanessa Maria Graber of Free Press speaking with WBGO's Britt Harley.